Good morning. Good to see all of these beautiful smiling faces here today. I'll tell you what, it's been such a blessed week. And Friday morning I got my phone call from the eye doctor, and they said your new glasses have come in. And I'm telling you what, I've been praying quite a while to find a good eye doctor since Dr. McCollum and Marion had retired. He was really one that really helped me. And then Dr. Chase Rudolph over at Complete Family Eye Care in Heron is one that was brought up to us. So Janine and I went over there. She got her glasses on Thursday, and she called me and said, I can see so clear. And I got my glasses on Friday, went and looked in the mirror, and I jumped and screamed about 10 foot after I got a good look at myself. No, no, I could see clear too. So I'm really thankful because I haven't been able to see this. I mean, I've seen okay, but I have not seen this good in a long while. So I thank God for answering prayers. And Dr. Rudolph told me, he said, you've got the healthiest eyes. I'll be double nickels here in next January. And he said, for a guy your age, he said, good eyesight, good eye health. So I was thankful to hear those words. So that led up to a good sermon of living an abundant life, John 10:10. This is a scripture everybody should know by heart. So when you get to John 10:10, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this powerful word. All of your word is powerful, dear God. But Lord, knowing that the enemy tries to rise up against us, we have a greater power in us, your Son Jesus. He has given us the power to live and to live abundantly and to live victoriously. So, Father, today let us know and understand that we are victorious. We are not defeated. We may be persecuted, but God, you sing over us, Lord. You love us with an unfathomable love. We just can't comprehend the greatness of your love, Father. And as I preach this message today, Lord, I ask God that everything will come from your Holy Spirit, that we will hear from you, that we will take your message in, Father, and that we'll put it to work in our life so that we will be changed. And we ask it all in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I meditate on this scripture and think upon the words, I think of the devil trying to get into my house. The devil's trying to find a way to break in, and he's going to try to find a weak spot in my life that he can enter in because he wants to bring utter destruction. He wants to disrupt my life and your life. He wants to cause discord. He doesn't want fellowship between us and the Father. Now, I've always said this, if the devil is dumb enough to get himself kicked out of heaven, then why in the world would we as Christians let him have any place in our life? Why would we listen to the lies? And why would we listen to the things that he wants, that he says he'll give to you, which are empty promises? So, and we also know that in God's Word, we know that at the end of time, that the devil himself, he will bow before the Lord God, and he will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, with that said, this is where I want this morning, I want you to put your thinking cap on. I don't want you to think about lunch. I don't want you to think about what you're going to do after lunch. Or now, I'm thinking about lunch sometimes. I think about lunch a lot. So I got to get my mind off that track right now. And I want us to put our thinking caps on today. And what I want your thinking cap to be is I want you to put on a thinking cap of clear thoughts, godly thoughts. I want you to start reflecting back on God's Word and what God says about us and how much God loves us and how much God will take care of every need in our life. God says that He will meet every need. So if the devil is trying to break into your house, then I want you to know that God gives you the best security and the best protection against this thief. And this thief comes in many forms and in many ways. The devil will use people to rise up against you. And Friday night, I tell you what, Friday for me was kind of a trying day. I had a day off. I've actually had 4 days off. I took time off because I've been so busy down with work. I haven't got to enjoy a day off. And I enjoyed a day off with my wife. And I mean the most blessed day, even though it rained. But in some way, the devil was trying to rise up. And all of a sudden, I saw online that Busby Chapel Baptist Church in Goreville was having their last night of revival. And I saw that, and God said, I want you to go tonight. So I said to Janine, I'm going to a revival tonight. Do you want to go? And she said, well, I'm kind of tired. She said, I don't think I will. And I said, all right. I went to revival Friday night. And when I walk in the front doors of the church, my good friend Darren Clark is pastor down there. And I got to see Darren's smiling face and give him a hug. And then I look up on the stage and I see my buddy up there. His name's David Bloodworth. He's the one who drove the getaway car when Janine and I got married. He's got a 56 Chevy, the prettiest car, because we had a 1950 style wedding is what we had. And he whisked us away in that beautiful car of his. And I saw David up there, and I mean the smile on his face. He's always smiling. He's always got something good to say. And I thought, man, this is the reason I'm here tonight, is revival. I need reviving. And I could really feel it on Friday. And Michael Hood, another friend of mine, was preaching the message that night. And he preached a message on rekindling the fire. And he said, if you feel like the devil has trampled all over you and you feel like that your fire has dwindled down and you're getting cold and you're just frustrated, he said, I want to share a message with you tonight of hope. And I'm telling you what, when he got done preaching, he preached for about 40 minutes, and that's okay. I never put a time limit on God. When God's speaking and moving, I say, let it happen. And don't ever try to say, okay, preacher, cut it off here. We're done. When God's moving, let Him move. And when He got done, people hit that altar. And they kept coming and kept coming to that altar. And I saw people hugging one another. I saw people shedding tears and letting go of things. And I thought, wow, the Lord has given life. And I had given Laura the title to my sermon that Friday morning. And I thought, how neat that all this is coming together, that Christ is giving life in the midst of wars and trials and persecutions that's going on. So see, three things I want to look at this morning is one, is the plan of Satan. Satan has a plan. And what is it? To steal from you. What does Satan want to steal from you? He wants to steal your joy. That's what he wants to take away from you. So he's going to flood your mind with all these thoughts. He's going to give you negative feelings, and he's going to make you feel like you don't amount to God. This is one thing Michael preached on Friday night that rang so true with me. I don't know how many times, maybe if people aren't really talking to you, you think, well, what did I do today? Have I made them mad? And it's not really the case. But the devil wants you to think that you're a problem, that nobody loves you and no one cares about you. And if he can plant that into your mind, he can get a hold of your joy and he can rob it from you. He can take it. He can leave you feeling lifeless and hopeless and like there's nowhere to turn or to go. I mean, when I was a kid, kids used to get into fight with one another's. And as kids, you'd say, well, we don't want you around. Get away. We don't like you at all. Well, I heard that some growing up as kids, but I wasn't the only one that, and buddy, it hurt. Didn't anyone ever hear that as a kid? That hurts when someone says, we don't want you around. We don't like you. And here, even in my adult life, the devil comes along and says stuff like that. And I don't let it get to me that way because I have the promises of God. So, see, when the devil's trying to take my joy, when he's trying to steal something from me, I know that he's actually wanting to kill my spirit. He's wanting to kill the very thing that God put inside of me. But I want you to know this morning that the devil does not have the power to kill or destroy you in any way, shape, or form. All the devil is, and I kind of get a chuckle out of this. I used to go by this house, and this lady, I called it the killer chihuahua. And she had this little chihuahua with a collar and a chain, and that little thing would come across in that high-pitched yelp, and I'd ride my bike by there, and that dog would come running out on that chain. And when that dog hit the end of its chain, it would go, wah, and make a big yelp noise because it'd choke itself on that collar. And I thought, serves you right, you little thing. Come running after me, trying to bite me. I didn't do nothing to you. Well, I kind of feel like that's all the devil can do to us. The devil makes a lot of noise. That's all that chihuahua did. It made a lot of noise. But you know what? I'd never stopped and engaged that chihuahua. I just kept right on going on my bicycle. And if I ever had to walk by that house, I run by that house. I never stopped. I was smart enough. And in the same way, the devil, when he starts making a lot of noise in your life, when he starts barking at you, then don't stop and engage what the devil's saying to you. Don't take it in. You just keep following the Lord and you just keep on going. And if you have to run, you run past. There are so many people in this world today who have let things get a hold of them. And the biggest one is fear. If the devil can get you to be afraid, then he's got you right where he wants you. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to people say, I want to serve God, but. And I go, but what? They say, I'm afraid. I'm like, well, what are you afraid of? Well, what if God calls me to be a missionary and wants me to go to another country? Well, so what? If that's what God calls you to do and if that's what He wants for your life, don't you think that He'll take care of you and He'll provide the way? If God wants you to be a missionary and go somewhere, don't you think He will protect you and that He will strengthen and encourage you? I know He will. Amen, Brother Milton. He sure will. And I've heard people say, well, I want to do this or I want to go here or go there, but I'm afraid. Well, you know what? I've heard people say this, so it's okay to be afraid. No, it's not. Because Jesus tells us not to fear. So I hate it when I hear a Christian tell another one, oh, it's okay to be afraid. No, it's not. If God has given us power, if He's given us a sound mind, and He doesn't want us to give in to fear, then we need to stand up with the boldness in our life, and we need to start telling the devil where his place is. We are to trample the devil underneath our feet. So even though that the devil has a plan, we don't have to give in to it. Now, I guarantee you that the devil tried to come up against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were standing before a fiery furnace. I'm sure the devil was probably filling their heads full of the most negative thoughts, trying to get them to turn and worship this golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made. But they did not fear. They weren't afraid of that furnace or that fire. Now, could you imagine what it would have been like if they would have been afraid and turned and worshiped this golden idol? But they said, I'm just going to say this in basic English term. They were basically saying, they can throw us in the fire, and you know what? It's going to be all right, because no matter what happens, God is there with us. So if we perish, we're going to go and be with God, but we believe that the Lord's going to protect us from this fire. And they were thrown into the fire, and it had been heated up 7 times hotter than it originally was. And when they were cast into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Did we not throw 3 men into the fire?" And they said, "Yes, king." He says, "Well, I see 4 men in the fire, and they're all loose, and one of them is like the Son of God." So see, when the devil brings his negativity against you, when he tries to bring fear into your life, that's when you need to stand up and say, "I serve a mighty God, and I will not be trampled upon, and I will not buy into your lies. I will not listen to it." When you're walking with God, you're walking with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are with your mighty fortress, a strong refuge and a mighty tower that will not let anything happen to you. But you have to submit and surrender to Him daily. I can't tell you how many times a day I have to submit and surrender. Sometimes I think the Lord kicks me for not submitting and surrendering. "What are you doing, boy? What are you doing?" But secondly, the plan of the Savior, that you might have life. Let me read the last part of verse 10. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Now that scripture does not say that He's going to give it to us in less portion. He says He's going to give it to us abundantly. Now first of all, Jesus said, "I have come." And what He said is, "I'm here. The Father has sent me to do a job, to die on the cross, and that's exactly what I'm going to do." That's what He said He was going to do. Now, I guarantee you that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." And He was filled with grief. And He was dreading the moment that He was going to be beaten. But He also said, "Not my will be done, but Thy will be done." See, He knew that He had to die so that we would be free from our sin. He paid the penalty with His shed blood. And Jesus knew that He was the bridge that would close in the gap between us and God. So Jesus said, "I have come." Those are words of authority right there. Jesus is here with us right now. Wherever you go, He is with you. Jesus said, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So if you keep your eyes on Him, He's not going to turn His back on you. We might turn our backs on Him from time to time. We may stray away because we live in this flesh still, but He will never reject us. And when we have walked away and we come back to Him, the Lord welcomes us back with open arms, and He welcomes us with the love that's unfathomable. I don't understand it. I was praying this morning on the way here, and I said, Lord, I don't understand Your love, but I'm thankful for it. When I mess up, You love me regardless of what I've said or done. But I know this, He is large, He is in charge, and He is always with me. I will not be afraid. He has given us life. So see, there are so many things that go on. Now, in this world, the Bible says we'll have tribulation. What does that mean? We're all going to go through bad times. We're going to go through sickness. We're going to go through death. We're going to go through financial difficulties. We're going to go through marriage difficulties. We're going to go through church difficulties. We're going to go through things on the job site. Even in a grocery store parking lot, things could go wrong. I mean, there's adversity all around us. It's there. We live in a world of sin. There is flesh in this world, and the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and the devil is in control of so many people's minds, and he is spreading the lies. But Jesus said that He has overcome the world. So we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have the bad things, but that's not what our focus is to be on. You know, there was a time when there was tribulation in the Bible in many different instances. When Jesus got arrested, well, what did Peter do? Man, I want you to look back who Peter was. You know, Peter had a problem with cursing. Boy, that guy could swear. He walked with the Lord. He walked with Jesus. And when they came and arrested him, he grabbed one of the swords from a guard and cut off his ear. And I'm sure he was cursed and he was angry. The devil was working in him. And then after they arrested Jesus, here's the same Peter. Well, Lord, I'll never deny you. And Jesus told him, you'll deny me three times. And three times, Peter stood there and denied Jesus. And I bet you Jesus made eye contact with Peter. Peter, I'm sure, went away weeping bitterly. How many times have we told Jesus, oh Lord, in the middle of tribulation, I'll never deny you. And then you get around a group of friends. Oh, I'm saying this because I'm guilty. Now, I've asked for forgiveness and I've been forgiven. But there's been times I got around certain friends after I got saved and I started acting like them because I didn't want them to know I was a Christian. I didn't want to look like a wimp. I didn't want to look like a softy. So I thought. But then came a time in my life when I realized that the Lord is exactly what I needed. And I needed to speak up and speak out to who He is. So, in the midst of the tribulation, we've got a Savior who's overcome everything of this world. He's overcome fear. He's overcome doubt. He's overcome lies. He has overcome everything that the devil's ever going to throw at you. So, when these things start to come up in your life, you have to speak as a Christian with the authority and the power that Jesus gave you. It's not of our own power, but it's by His power that we speak with authority. Now, if God spoke everything into existence when He created the world, He spoke it. And this is what I want us to understand today as Christians, that in this life, God spoke in creation with power, and if we've been given the power and authority by Jesus, then we need to speak it. And we need to speak it like we mean it. So when the devil comes against you, whether it's in the form of another person or whatever, you stop what's going on and you say, by the authority and the power of Jesus' name, I command you, Satan, to get behind me. Who is our example in doing that? Jesus. Jesus told Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. You may have to do it a lot in a day's time, but the more you speak it, the more authority that you show, the devil will know that you belong to God. And if the devil sees that you're not going to give in to his ways, he will leave you alone. But you've got to get, and I say this every time I preach, you have to get into this word and you have to read it. You have to study it. And mostly, if you're going to stand, then you've got to learn to fall up on your knees daily. And you've got to pray. You've got to be a prayer warrior. And when you pray and speak, you have to believe what you are saying and what you're walking. Because if you don't believe it, if you don't have the faith, the devil's going to keep treading right on top of you time and time and again. You know, there was a situation in my life one time where I didn't know what was going to happen. And I won't get into that situation because it wasn't pretty and I wasn't expecting it. And I got upset with the Lord. I got immature really quick. I let my spiritual stuff just go out the window. I let the devil dance all in my camp. He destroyed everything about me. And I got to a point where I was ready to walk away from ministry. I didn't care anymore. And finally, I had to literally hit bottom so hard that all I could do was look up. And as I looked up, all I could see was those mighty hands stretched down, saying, "Child, when's enough going to be enough? Here I am. All you got to do is come back to me." And there's those precious, mighty hands. And when I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I trust you." And he picked me back up. And I saw these things in the life that I was going to have to be facing. But I had a peace that passed all understanding. And that peace guarded my mind and my heart. And I made it through. And I remember one day in my life, I've been serving the Lord. I've been trusting Him. And I said, "You know what, Lord? I sure am lonely. I hate being by myself. And I need somebody. I have you, Lord, and you're all I need. And if that's what you want, that's okay. I'm fine with it. But I love you, Lord. But I would like to have a beautiful woman by my side. I'd love to have that helpmate that you have picked out for me." And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I just kept thanking the Lord every day because He wanted to give me all these good things. So I said, "Okay, Lord, I receive her, whoever she is. I receive her now. Bring her." And one day, I was working at Johnny Logan College, and I walk into this classroom, and I see this beautiful dark-haired lady sitting there at a computer. And as I walk in there, I said, good morning. And she says, good morning. I went in there and I did what I had to do in that classroom. And when I looked at her as I was on my way out, I said, I hope you have a nice day and God bless you. And she looked at me and smiled the prettiest smile. Boy, my heart was hit. And a few days later, I got sent back to that classroom again to go take care of something. And when I walk in that room, there's that beautiful dark-haired lady sitting at that computer again. And I walk in, I said, well, good morning. She said, good morning. And I'm standing up there. I was working on the computer up there. And I don't know why this fell out of my mouth, but it did. And I said, are you messing up this computer just so you can smile and flirt with me? And I was like, oh my, you know, here I'm an employee of the college. I just said that to a student. Oh no. And she giggled and she said, maybe. Well, one thing led to another. And I started seeing Miss Janine a lot in the hallways. And I won't forget the day I came in to the college and I was coming into work and I was walking down the hallway and she was walking down the hallway the other direction and our eyes made contact and God said to me, that's the woman I've picked out for you. That clear. I wasn't afraid. And what God joined together on July 17th, 2010, was the most beautiful thing. And see, God had blessed and ordained this marriage and brought us together for a reason and a purpose. I've never seen a woman who prays so fervently like she does, who fights like she does, who's got a faith that's unshakable. And I know why God brought her to me. I've learned a lot from her. I know she's my helpmate, but you know what? Men, we can learn a lot from our helpmates. We sure can. She's taught me a lot. But through it all, I have seen God give me life through her. And I've prayed this a lot. I have said, Lord, don't take her from me. But I also said, Lord, I know that if she ever goes before me, I'll be all right. Because you're with me. And you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. So see, He's given me life and He's given it to me in such abundance. Well, what does He give me in abundance? Love. Joy, peace, goodness. He's given me fellowship with all of you every Sunday. Wherever I go, He's put good things before me, but it's up to me to open my heart and to see through those eyes of love. He's given me everything I need. He's my provision. And lastly, He's given me provision, which is life abundantly. So no matter what I face, He's always there. I told you last week or week before when I was preaching, I said, you know, when you go into a trial, you're going to go through trials in life. So through is the word you need to focus on there. Because you're going to go into a trial, and you know if you're going to go through it, you know you're going to come out eventually. Now, we don't know how long a trial is going to last, but we do know this. We can either be happy or unhappy in that trial. And during that trial, if we praise and worship the Lord, and if we witness and live our lives for Him, we're not going to be thinking about the trial that we're facing. All we're going to see is God's goodness. We're going to see God's provision poured out before us. Too many times, though, I've heard Christians say, well, God could never do that for me. Yes, He can. See, we limit God with this organ up here. Now, Janine kids around sometimes. She says when they was passing out brains, you thought they said trains and give me a slow one. Well, I said, well, mine's on a one track. Food. No. But this thing up here is dangerous, how we use it. If we let this mind be operated under any other way, it's utter chaos. But if this mind is focused and guarded by the Lord's power, and if we keep our mind stayed upon Him, then He's going to be our provision. But so many times I hear people say, well, God couldn't do that for me. Yes, He can. God can do anything with you. Look at Miss Sheridan. She's got 4 gold medals for powerlifting. And I bet Sheridan might have been saying at one time, well, I couldn't power. She probably might have said one time, I couldn't powerlift. But she gave it a try, and look what she's done. See, you don't know until you give it a try. Don't let the devil steer your joy. Remember, he is a liar and he's a thief. Would you open the front door? If you knew a burglar was at your front door, would you open the door if he knocked and invite him in? Well, I'd hope not. I know the Lord wants us to love and fellowship with, but I wouldn't be loving and fellowship with no burglar wanting to come in my house and do harm or anything like that. I'd call upon the police to remove him right away. So when the thief comes to your door and he starts saying, hey, Corrine, open your heart's door up there and let me come in and let me bring some fear and doubt along your way, she's going to say, nope, I'm going to call upon the name that's above every name, and he's going to come away and take you off, and you're not coming into my house. See, I like what the Bible says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you serving the Lord in your house? Or is the devil sitting in your lazy boy recliner and calling the shots? You don't have to be afraid. The Lord doesn't want you being afraid. The Lord wants you to have life and have it abundantly. And the sweet day is coming when we get to heaven and we're going to see that we'll lay down that cross and we will obtain the prize that's before us. The Lord's going to say, welcome. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, I don't want it. For me, I hope it ain't going to be. I hope I can run to the Lord and throw my arms around Him and just hug Him. Because if it wasn't for Him, I don't know where I'd be today. I sure wouldn't be in this pulpit preaching. Wow. Who would have ever thought that a backward, shy kid would ever be a preacher? Look what God did with me. Look what God did with Noah. Look what God did with David. Look what God did with Moses. Look what God can do with you. My prayer today is that you will take a stand and live abundantly. See, there's a prosperous life waiting for you, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking prosperity, God's love, God's blessings, God's favor in your life. Will you take it today, and will you live it?